This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. You can subscribe to Tiger Cast through iTunes or your favorite podcast app by searching Princeton Tigers. If you're a subscriber, you'll get the weekly Tiger Casts as well as any other podcasts, including post-game recaps, other things from coaches, directly to your phone or other podcast listening device. On today's show, we'll have Colton Finney, the record-setting goaltender for the Princeton men's ice hockey team, which is the lone team in competition this weekend. We'll talk about that in a second. And we'll have Sam Schweisky, the head coach of the men's volleyball team. Tigers started a little earlier than normal this season, but they'll have their annual post-finals trip to California this coming weekend, including a showdown with number two UCLA next week. So we'll talk about them. As I mentioned, this is finals week, so very light schedule. Only the men's hockey team. Teams start to get going next week. Next week is that break between finals and then the start of the spring semester. And then the following weekend, we start that February-March sprint. Fall teams in Ivy, winter teams in Ivy, ECAC competition. You know, the start of some winter seasons, a really exciting couple months for Princeton. It starts next weekend, so we have one more weekend to kind of relax, get ready for what I say, like the mad sprint. It's a good time and some really exciting teams to look forward to. One of them will be the men's ice hockey team. You know, this is a team that certainly has had its struggles over the last few years, and record-wise, you know, maybe you haven't seen the improvement that's been there, but you saw it early this season, and now it's a team that has a chance to really do something this year in the ECAC. Obviously, still in that rebuilding process, but it's a team that has shown some ability to knock off top teams. You know, Bemidji, Quinnipiac. I mean, this is a team that has beaten good teams, and they'll get an opportunity this weekend as they take on Penn State at the Wells Fargo Center Saturday night. Penn State has been number one this season, top five team, obviously led by former Tiger head coach Guy Gadowski, who's done just a terrific job there, building now a Big Ten power. But for Princeton, now an opportunity to kind of, you know, shake off the rust from the finals break against a team, you know, of the highest quality, and then get right back into ECAC play. And now, you know, we're talking about a team that isn't that far out of the top eight in the league. And what the top eight does is it gets you home ice in that first weekend of the playoffs. And, you know, that's a nice, you know, goal to have for a team that, like I said, is still kind of in that building process to get back to, the top tier in the ECAC. Regardless, it's been a fun season for this team. Good to see them get back some big wins, and great to see a player of Colton Finney's stature, somebody who's been there for 4 years now, hit a milestone like he hit before the break, breaking the all-time saves record at Princeton, somebody who's certainly looking forward to bigger games ahead. Let's hear now from Colton Finney.
Colton, certainly plenty to talk about this weekend and the rest of the season, but obviously a big record for you in setting the Princeton saves record, career record, in a game where, first of all, just going into a game where you know you need five saves, is it something you ever think about during, I mean, it's a big Cornell game, always a big one. Is it something that in the back of your mind you can kind of keep track of saves, or did you have any idea when you had actually made, you know, broken the record?
So I was notified before the game. I really didn't have any idea how close I was to the record. And then a couple of days before, my coach had told me that when I got the record, if I got it before the 9 minute mark in the first period, they'd make an announcement at that mark. If not, they'd do it beginning of the second. So I kind of knew, like, I was trying not to, you know, count shots or anything like that, but I did know that there would be a time like when it was announced, when it happened. So it was kind of in the back of my head, which is not what you really want. I was trying not to have it in the back of my head, but it's pretty hard knowing that there was an announcement that was kind of a pretty big deal. So I realized I didn't really know when it actually happened because at the start of the second period, they didn't make an announcement. So I guess I didn't have it yet. And then they finally made it halfway through the second. So that's kind of when I was able to kind of just forget about it and realize that it happened and focus more on the game. But it was definitely in the back of my head for a little while.
A record like that, I mean, it kind of comes from, you know, as much just always being on the ice. I mean, being a longtime starter and obviously being a successful goalie. But what aspect of that record do you take the most pride in?
I would say just always being on the ice. It kind of shows, you know, like it's just a buildup of a lot of games played and a lot of shots over time. And I think that's kind of the thing that I can take from it the most is that it shows that I have kind of, you know, put in a good workload, which definitely means a lot. You always want to play every game as much as you can. So I think it shows that from, you know, freshman year, I've been fortunate enough to get a good workload and kind of just build up a save resume to get there.
You two weren't teammates, but you did follow Mike Condon. I assume he's been around at some point. I mean, have you gotten to know him? And you know, as a Princeton goalie, how much inspiration do you take from the success that he's having in the NHL?
Yeah, I actually know him really well. I was fortunate enough before I came in, he sent me a message and introduced himself. We started talking, and then he's come down a couple times, and I've hung out with him at reunions. And actually this year, before the year, we were pretty close. We often FaceTimed and talked a lot about hockey and talked a lot about different aspects, and we'd pretty much talk weekly. So it's been really helpful, and it also definitely serves as an inspiration. I mean, he's done wonderful things this year with Ottawa, and the fact that he's able to be really successful right out of college. He played in the ECHL and did really well, and then moved up to AHL, did really well, and he's just kind of been successful everywhere he's went. And it kind of is definitely just something that is positive, and you kind of look at it and say, okay, like if, you know, Mike Condon did it, then like there's a chance that maybe I can do it too. It's definitely something that kind of lean on and say like it's possible, and you know, there's always a chance. So gives us hope. In Princeton goalies.
Absolutely. You're a Jersey kid. Did that play much into your decision to come to Princeton, or was it at the time that was kind of the program that you chose?
No, it definitely came into it. I mean, obviously it's Princeton. It's pretty hard to turn down Princeton education and Princeton hockey and just the whole university. I was blown away when I came on my visit. But I think a big part of it was the fact that my parents could go to all the games, and it's just, growing up, my older brothers used to play in tournaments and like play at Princeton sometimes. So that kind of had a part in it too. But I think definitely the Jersey aspect, you know, obviously it's not as big as being from Minnesota and going to Minnesota University or something like that. But it still, to me, was something being able to play close to home and for my parents to be able to come and for people to be able to come and see me.
You know, we talked about with the Save Shark. I mean, you've been on the ice a lot over 4 years and, you know, so you've gone through some really tough seasons, but this team has clearly improved over that stretch, even if it wasn't terribly apparent, you know, in the win-loss record. How tough is it to keep a team constantly moving forward when you aren't getting rewarded with victories? And then, you know, secondly, with those big wins and that kind of run you had early in the season, how much did you really appreciate and enjoy kind of finally seeing, or at least allowing everybody else to see the fruits of all that labor?
Yeah, I think last year we got almost glimpses of it, but it never really showed. I think we might have lost 16 games or something like that by one goal, and you're just pretty close all the time, so that was tough. But then this year we were able to beat our sweet Bemidji, and then I kind of said, okay, like we can do this. And then we were on that run where we beat Quinnipiac, UMass, Minnesota, like, and it was just like, wow, it was pretty awesome. But I think the best part about it was that kind of finally all came together, and it was kind of like you knew it was going to happen eventually. At least like we knew it was, but for a while it just wasn't happening and things weren't really going our way. But the fact that it finally came together just shows that, like, you know, like right now we've lost a couple games, but in the back of our mind it's definitely that we can do this, we can turn this around, because we've done it before this year and we know that we're capable now. So I think it's definitely something to build off of and kind of just keep in the back of our minds that we know that come down the stretch, it's not like in years previous, because we have won those games. We know that we definitely can do it now. So I think it'll be good for us come playoff time and come when it's really important, just having that confidence that we're capable of going on a big run.
Was it what you were seeing at practice? Was it how close you were coming in those games? I mean, you know, I believe you in that you knew it was coming, but why did you know it was coming?
I think it's just, yeah, I guess you could say you can see it in practice. You can see the way, you know, like the different skill level this year, you know, everyone's a year older. Our freshman class is really, it's pretty good. They've really been producing. And I think that was kind of it. And I think early on in the games, you could see that. I think it was early on, Harvard was probably a top 10 team, and it was a tie game going in the third period. And a lot of our losses early in the year, I think all but maybe like two, were tied games at one point in the third period, and then we just didn't get it done. So I think that that was kind of a big part of it, was that we were competing the whole time. And other than maybe our first game of the year, there wasn't many games that were really out of hand or out of question at all. So I think we realized just like it's a game of bounces at that point, and eventually it's going to have to go our way. So
you're not far from going back into kind of full-time ECAC play, but you do get, you know, this Penn State game this weekend, and Penn State obviously was number one in the country. You get it at the Wells Fargo Center, where, you know, I believe last I've heard it's already over 11,000 tickets sold. I mean, what's a game like this in an NHL facility against, you know, a top five team? I mean, obviously it's a big game and you want to win it, but how much do you enjoy just being part of games like this, and how much energy does it help you get, especially after, you know, for you guys going through finals in this long, like how energizing is a game like this?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of talk about it in the locker room. You know, everyone's been ticket watching and everyone knows it's going to be pretty packed. And I think last year we played at Penn State and it was unbelievable. Probably other than Cornell. I mean, Cornell is pretty awesome to play at, but it was awesome. I think it was like 8,000 seats and the students were just so loud, and that was pretty incredible. So knowing that it's going to be the same thing this year, but a bigger venue and an NHL rink that's going to be pretty much full, I mean, I don't think you could really ask for more. So I think everyone's super excited, and especially coming off of exams where you kind of had 2 weeks of a little bit of stress. It's a pretty great thing to step into, just playing Penn State, a top team, in the best venue that you could possibly think of. I mean, I can tell you that everyone's definitely really excited.
Not to look, you know, past that game, obviously it's a big one. It's a fun one, but then you do go into ECAC play, and you've done this before, that after finals, you go into that full sprint of ECAC games, and you do it now where you're not terribly far away from home ice in that first weekend. And, you know, you go into it also with some ranked wins, with some success under your belts. Does this year feel different than those last 3 years in terms of heading into February and feeling like, you know, it's one thing to kind of, you know, believe it can happen, but does it feel more real this year that we really can do something, we can make something happen this year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're in a much better position, and it's kind of, in years past, there's kind of a bit of a reach, and you know that in the back of your mind, but you're still hopeful. But this year, it's actually, we have a shot at kind of moving up some places and finishing pretty well. And I think that we know that. I mean, we played Harvard 2 weeks ago, and I think they're top five in the country. And again, it was a 3-2 game with four open netters. But I think that we kind of know that ECAC play coming up. We've seen all these teams before now, and we've had games with all of them, like close games. And it's kind of like we can get on a roll here again. I mean, we beat Quinnipiac. We swept Quinnipiac, the top ECAC team. So you can just use that as inspiration. Just know that this year is definitely different because of the games we've had and the streak that we've gone on and the way our practices are and the way our team is. I mean, we're a super close team this year. Everyone gets along really well, and it's really fun being at the rink with them. And I think that also adds to it.
Now we'll turn our attention to men's volleyball and talk to Sam Schweisky, the two-time EIVA head coach of the year and somebody who has really done an impressive job with this program, including this offseason when he recruited a top 10 program, the second ranked recruiting class in the EIVA. And, you know, it's a group that I think you like the foundation that they can build with them. Unfortunately, in this season where, you know, you've had a lot of players graduate, some of the top players that led Princeton back to the EIVA finals a couple of years ago, there was a lot of turnover. And so now you're putting these freshmen in position where, you know, they're going to be called on to make an early impact, or an immediate impact, frankly, this season. And that can be a tough task. But this is a team that went to Hawaii for the annual Outrigger Invitational, a pretty highly, you know, prestigious early season volleyball tournament, and took a team like Ball State, the 15th ranked team in the country, Within 2 points, had several match points in that one. Couldn't quite finish the job, but still was a nice early sign from a team that, you know, has already started four freshmen this season. They head out to California next week, including a showdown with UCLA that'll be on the Pac-12 network. So, you know, again, the tests continue, but I think it's a good way for this team to kind of get ready for EIVA play. Now, last year, for the first time since 98 when Princeton did it, you know, somebody other than Penn State won this league. That was George Mason, although it was St. Francis that knocked off Penn State. So you're seeing kind of, you know, I don't want to say parity, but a little more power up at the top. You know, it's a little more spread out. And so I think it makes it good. Now, Penn State is going to remain Penn State, you know, still a really strong team. George Mason's very strong. St. Francis is really strong. But, you know, Princeton now has a chance to kind of have that big upward trajectory. And if they can get to, you know, the playoffs at the end of the year, I think that teams now start to believe that anyone can take this league. And that's a, you know, that's a really good thing for the present and the future of the EIVA. Right now, Sam Schwieski's thinking about the present and the future of Princeton volleyball. It's an exciting time and certainly a lot to look forward to this, you know, these next few months and the next few years with this young, talented group. Let's hear now from Sam Schwieski.
Sam, I know before the season there was a lot of emphasis on, you know, these four freshmen, a really highly touted group and certainly worth talking about, but, you know, a really big return to the court for you guys was having Junior Obo back. And, you know, his numbers say a lot, but he brings a fire and a spirit to your court that I think really is kind of as valuable as anything else he does. I mean, how good has it been to have him back on the court?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Junior Obo means so much to this program more than kills and blocks and serves. I mean, you know, just having him around in the fall as a captain and in a leadership role, it's just a tremendous, he's a tremendous role model for how to do things, you know, on and off the court. And the guys really respond to that. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he brings a nice presence in the middle and he certainly has a lot of experience, but, you know, his ability to play with fire, to lead, to have that kind of killer instinct, but also to have the maturity when there's a tight situation to kind of just play with poise. I mean, he was there his freshman year to block Aaron Russell to beat Penn State, you know, 15-11 in the fifth set. He's been through some big moments in his career, and that's how he's playing right now in practice in a couple of the early games. So I'm really excited for what he means to this program and what he's going to be able to do for us this season.
You know, we brought up the four freshmen, and, you know, you threw them right into the fire with this schedule going out to Hawaii and playing two top 15 teams. And really coming as close as humanly possible to knocking off Ball State in that opener. You know, we'll learn about kind of their talent and especially as they gain experience and gain comfort. But, you know, early impressions in Hawaii, what did you see? What did you like? And what are you looking forward to really building on?
Well, I tell you, you know, the thing I love about all four of them is just how eager they are. I mean, they are just so dialed in for Princeton volleyball. Really, since they, you know, committed and got entered into the school, they've just been so into it. I mean, they show up to every film session with their binder, having watched film, and they're eager. They come early to practice. They're pretty driven individually, and they add a real nice collective group as that freshman group. And so, yeah, you know, that was the point of going out there, was playing some of the best teams. I mean, yeah, really cool match, 21-19, fifth set against Ball State, and then an extremely talented Hawaii team, who I think was ranked seventh at the time and might be as low as fifth or fourth now. I mean, they're a fantastic team, and to play them at home was a great opportunity and environment for those freshmen. So hopefully when we take the floor at Pauley Pavilion in a couple days, they're not going to be, you know, shell-shocked. They've been in a big-time arena, and they've played some big-time volleyball. So, you know, and some of these guys are not new to big-time volleyball. You know, George Heumann played on the youth national team and the junior national team, so he's definitely been a part of big-time volleyball. And the other guys have played significant roles in their club and their high school teams. But just excited to see them in the college environment and starting to make that transition from what used to score at the high school level to what needs to score at the college level. And it's coming along, and it's not without its growing pains, and it's not necessarily always a linear line of improvement, but you can see some flashes of brilliance. And it gets pretty exciting when you start putting it all together and realizing if these guys keep progressing at the rate that they are, we could see something pretty special by the end of the year.
you know, when you talk about rate of improvement and just consistency, you know, we saw those same flashes over the last 2 years from a Kendall Ratter who, you know, when he's on, especially if that serve can be really explosive, you know, he can be a top hitter, but again, it would kind of go up and down the way you see a lot of underclassmen. From what I've seen this year, it looks like he's found a little bit more consistency and certainly that home match. And obviously the level of competition goes up from North Greenville, but you know, he just seems like, you know, that power is still there, that kind of dynamic hitting and serving is still there, but it's just kind of blended in with a little more consistency. And that kind of player could be really good in the East.
Yeah, I mean, Kendall's made, like you said, tremendous strides. You know, he came in his freshman year with a fast arm and an explosive serve, but with some of that, you know, lack of consistency. And I think over the last couple of years, that's certainly improved. And he's definitely come back this year in the fall just with a much more focused, driven mindset. And he's doing a nice job mentoring the younger guys. You know, I think that's, you know, sometimes when you realize, you know, you're the one in charge, that's to show those guys how to pass, how to hit, how to make good decisions in tough situations. All of a sudden, when that responsibility falls upon you, you have no choice but to model good behavior in terms of how to play in tight situations. And so, yeah, Kendall's been fantastic, and I'm really excited to see. I think he has another gear left in him. I think we've seen some great performances from him so far, but he's pretty focused and driven. He's in the weight room constantly. That kid's trying to improve his body and his physicality every day. And so I'm excited. I think we have a pretty big year in store for Kendall Ratter, and that's going to really, you know, alleviate some of the pressure on the freshman and I think make for a nice, hopefully, balanced offense.
I do want to talk about UCLA in a minute, but, you know, when you come back east, you're going to start EIVA play. And, you know, for 15, 20 years, you know, EIVA play was basically how far can you get before you get to Penn State? And that changed last year. I mean, we've seen teams beat them in the regular season, but, you know, for a team like St. Francis to beat them twice and then for George Mason to win the league and come into this year as the preseason favorite and still knowing, you know, Penn State's, they haven't gone away. Does it feel like the league this year is it more open? Is it, has the depth of talent kind of spread out a little bit more in the EIVA right now?
You know, it's interesting. Like, it's so interesting to hear these conversations and to talk and project and look at the preseason polls. And then I'd love to obviously have hindsight and look back and you know, end of May, look back and talk about it. Because I don't know. Yeah, that's certainly how it seems. But, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding when you know, teams actually go toe-to-toe and head-to-head. So, but right now, I mean, I think the preseason poll makes sense. George Mason returns everyone but one middle, and they have – and they have some good good recruiting class in. So, like, they're very strong. Same with St. Francis. Returns everyone except for one middle, Marshman, who was a strong player, but also with a nice recruiting class and a transfer from Pepperdine. So they're very strong. So, and, of course, like you said, Penn State didn't go away. You know, graduated one or two guys, but, you know, Nugent, one of their best players, is back, and they have a real nice core nucleus guys. They always have a ton of redshirting guys that, you know, big physical guys. So there's a core of teams that are in the mix and pretty talented. And then you look at, you know, us and NJIT and Harvard and Sacred Heart and Charleston. I mean, all these teams are improving, getting better. So I think you could see some quote-unquote upsets or some matches go different ways over the course of the season. It's going to be pretty interesting and exciting, especially the first few weeks, how things start to settle out. And then who improves. You know, I think that was one of the biggest things I was impressed with George Mason over the course of last year, Jay's first year, was how much that team improved over the course of the year. And that's, you know, I think that's a testament to really, really good coaching and a good staff and guys that buy into a system. So you'll see where things settle in the beginning, and it'll be interesting to see who improves over the course of the season and where we are at the end.
You head to California after finals for three matches. Obviously the highlight match is you know, showdown with second-ranked UCLA. Look, obviously, it would be great to get a win in a match like that. But really, you know, what are you looking at certain things, at how you compete or you know, certain aspects of the match? I mean, what do you kind of hope to get out of a match like that, besides obviously, you know, a win that would certainly turn a lot of heads in college volleyball?
Well, you know, we do a quote before every practice, and last practice someone had a quote, It's about when you add enough pressure to coal, you can create a diamond. And, you know, the relevance was that, you know, we're trying to push ourselves and put pressure on ourselves to create something great. And I think that's what we're trying to do, is turn up the heat, turn up the pressure, you know, play the number two team in the country, probably the most storied program in the history of college men's volleyball. They have, you know, 19 NCAA championships. Play them in Poly Pavilion and you know, and see what happens and see where the fault lines are, you know. And that's sometimes when you train a lot and you practice a lot, you get better, but it's hard to know exactly, you know, where when you're pushed to your brink, where are the issues? Is it your serving? Is it your passing? Is it your blocking? Is it your defense? Is it in pressure moments? Who's going to step up? Who's going to struggle? And I think that's the great thing about UCLA is, like, it's UCLA, and it's going to be a great match. I mean, last year we lost 3-0, but those all sets were above 20 points. And in the second set, I believe we were up like 22-20 and played a great match against them. So that was encouraging. And so I'm just excited to see how we respond to the big stage with the big pressure, because then we can retool, come back, and work on those things heading into EIVA play. Because at the end of the day, sure, we'd love to beat them. That would be fantastic, and it would make a big splash. But at the end of the day, you know, we're looking at the EIVA and seeing what we can do to put ourselves in a good chance to hopefully make the playoffs and make a run.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.